In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, a lot of ground to cover. Today, I want to preach this whole chapter the next 2 weeks, so I'm going to preach half of the chapter today and half of the chapter next Sunday. And then the other half, can you have three halves? We'll see. Hebrews, chapter number 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Let the church say amen. Father, thank you for your precious word. I pray that you cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of handling the precious word of God. I pray, God, that you will take me now as your vessel, that you'd use me in a way that I could not do without you. I know that you don't need me. Equally, I know that I need you. Bind the forces of Satan. Put a hedge of protection about this place. Still our hearts. Arrest our minds. Lord, would you pause our attention? And Lord, would you help us to hear the word from thee today? That then we might not just be hearers, but doers of the word, changed. Not just for today, but forever. If there be one that's not saved, may today be that day that one comes to saving knowledge of the truth. I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I want you to picture with me the trumpets are sounding. I want you to picture with me they're sounding the alert for the daily evening sacrifice. I want you to picture as the crowds are gathering together around the temple. The priests, the Levites, the people are all flocking to the temple of God where the sacrifice will be made. I want you to picture as they walk through the outer court and they picture the pillars and the grandeur that is so evident in the outer court of the temple of God. And then as they proceed further into the inner temple, and there those silver and gold gates and all of those jewels and all of that pomp and circumstance. I'm talking about the beauty that exists in the temple of God. I want you to picture the priest of that day going a little further and approaching the altar as he receives the animal that has been so meticulously selected by the Levites to be altered, to be offered on the altar as a sacrifice for the sins of the people. Then that priest takes that animal, slays that animal according to the very precise orders of Jehovah God. Then places that animal on the sacrifice of that altar. And then as that animal is burned, the fire goes up to heaven as a picture of a sacrifice being offered to Almighty God. You can smell the incense that has been burned in the temple, and great odors are exuding through the temple as the temple is filled with all of the sacrifices and all of the rituals and all of those things that are carried out by way of ordinance and by way of law that have been given by Almighty God. But in the not too far distance is a young man, a Jew, of the tribe of Levi, of the family of Aaron. By right, he's next in line to become a priest. But there's only one thing. He's not into those rituals anymore. He's not into those sacrifices anymore. He has become a Christian. And now, this man, as he looks from a distance, as these sacrifices are going up, and as he looks from a distance, as his once intimate friends are gathered around the temple, as he looks to the place where all of his life was once represented, as he looks to that place and begins to see those shadows of the law being more important than the true substance in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to picture this man standing here alone. There's a pull and there's a tug for him to go back to that temple that he had left. Not too far down the road in the house is another fella. He's a Jew. He walks into his living room and pulls out one of his most prized possessions. Some books. Books that represent the law of Moses. Books that represent the prophets. Books that represent the Psalms. And for all of his life, he's been engaged in rituals. He's been engaged in shadows. He's been engaged in ordinances. But as he looks through the law of Moses, and he looks through the prophets, and he looks through the Psalms, he begins to mull over in his mind, can really the blood of bulls and goats cleanse the sins of mankind? Can truly the offering of a sacrifice of an animal on an altar, can that really cover the sins of mankind? He begins to look at the Psalms, and he looks at Psalms like Psalm 16 and Psalm 22, where Jesus says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Where the prophet, the psalmist David, in a messianic psalm, prophesies that God will not allow his son to see corruption. He will not leave his soul in hell. And he begins to realize that yes, these ordinances are a part of the law, but I'm not going to trust in that law anymore. I'll stake all of my trust, all of my allegiance, all of my faith, and all of my hope in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But since the day he did that, his parents cast him out. They had a funeral for him. Treated him like he was dead. His friends deserted him. His most familiar acquaintances disowned him. Yes, he's chosen the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. But there's a tug. He misses his family. He misses his friends. He misses the functions. He misses the temple. It's not that he doesn't believe in Jesus, but there's a pull to revert. There's a pull to return. There's a pull to go back to all of those sacrifices that he had once left. I want you to picture that with me today and understand those are the folks to whom Hebrews was written. People who had been accustomed to law only, rituals only, sacrifices only. As we parallel the book of Hebrews and the book of Leviticus, we see all of the rituals, and yet here's this man who has left these rituals. Why? Because he looks at the Old Testament and all he sees is unexplained ceremonies, unfulfilled prophecies, unsatisfied longings. He sees all these rituals, but at the end of the day, there's an emptiness in his heart until one day somebody told him, he who knew no sin became sin for you, that you might be made in the righteousness of God in him. And he began to realize, it's not in an animal. It's not in a sacrifice. It's not in rituals. I go to heaven based on the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a price to pay. And he's being pulled. The writer of Hebrews writes this book to challenge those who had left a religious system called Judaism for a man named Jesus. And there was a strong pull for them to go back to that stuff. All those laws, all those works, all that legalism, all of those rituals, all of those sanctions that had come down in a very legal way. And yet this man is serving Jesus Christ, but it's not without ridicule. It's not without being scoffed at. It's not without persecution. It's not without being laughed at. And so the writer of Hebrews, whom I believe is the Apostle Paul, he begins to challenge them. He says, listen to me. I know your family disowned you. I know your friends deserted you. I know your foes downed you. But I want you to understand something. You made the right choice when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I want to say to every blood-washed sinner today, you and I may not leave Judaism like these did, but when we got saved, we left the world. We left the friends. We left the fame. We left the fortune. And if you're honest today, it's not easy sometimes as you look at those that you left. Sometimes your family thinks you're crazy and your friends think you lost your mind and your foes are all on your back. Sometimes just your association with Jesus makes people make fun of you and laugh at you and ridicule you. And this is where these Hebrews were. They were tempted to go back. What breaks my heart as a pastor is many that used to be on fire, many that used to love the Lord, many that used to be intact with the will of God, they look back to the world and now they're back with them friends. They're back doing that mess. They're back involved in that foolishness. Jesus is real. Oh yes, He's real. But so is the pull of Satan. And sometimes after we've pumped up and praised ourselves till we're tired, when all the music stops and the church goes home, we've got to serve God for ourselves. And it's not easy. We got young people in here today that are trying to look at Jesus and look at the world at the same time. It just will not work. No man can go forward looking back while he's plowing. And yet today, the devil seems to be pulling people back and dragging people back in and reassessing their lives and reclaiming their livelihood. And it breaks my heart. But as this writer gets to the end of Hebrews chapter 13, he makes a statement that does wonders for my heart. He makes a statement that brings encouragement to my soul. He makes a statement that inspires me to keep on going on. He said, yes, you've lost your family. Yes, you've lost your friend. Yes, you've gained some foes. Yes, it seems like everybody's against you. But he says in verse number 6, so that we may boldly say, hear me now, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. And I want to challenge saved folk today, because you're going to have to tell me the truth and admit today, when you leave this building and you walk in this world, there's a bunch of folks out there that believe entirely differently than you and I believe. They want us to do entirely differently than you and I do. They want you to miss church. They want you to fool around in sin. They want you to curse God. They want you to slow down in prayer. They want you to back down on your stand for God. And sometimes we find ourselves sitting in a state of loneliness, in a state of ostracism, in a state of isolation, in a state of seeming segregation, where we feel like nobody understands what we're going through to serve Jesus Christ. But I've got a word from the Lord this morning. When nobody's there with you and nobody understands you and you feel like you're all alone, rest assured in the promise that Jehovah God, the one who hung the stars in space and put the moon in place, the Lord is your helper. Don't go back. Don't go back. The Lord is our helper. I've got 6 points. We'll try to hit them bam, bam, bam. And bam, bam. Ba-ba-ba-bam. All right. Hebrews chapter, hey, listen, I want to tell you how you can live out this Christian life since the Lord is your helper. Here's what I'm trying to tell you this morning. I don't care what's going on in society, and I refuse to give extra credence to who the devil is. I acknowledge he's real. I acknowledge the flesh is real. I acknowledge the world is real. But let me tell you something. I acknowledge that supersedes all of them combined. Jesus is real, and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I'm here to tell you that with all of the vices and the obstacles and the opposition and the adversary, the tests and trials and troubles and thrashing and torturing that the world seems to throw your way, you add it all together with the help of Almighty God, you can still do right and live right and act right and smell right and dress right. Why? Because the Lord is your helper. Now, let me give you bam, 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 ba, 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 bam. Number one, I'm talking about living out the Christian life. Here it is. Since the Lord is my helper, guess what I have? Compassion for souls. Help me preach now. If you talk back to me, I might talk faster. Compassion for souls. I like verse number one. Let brotherly love continue. Hey. I said, let brotherly love continue. You say, preacher, I feel like I'm left out in the world. The world is into this trend, and you tell me I can't be trendy. The world is into this fad, and you tell me I can't be faddish. The world is into this style, and you tell me I can't adopt that style. I feel like as a Christian, I'm always left out. Could I tell you something? There's never going to go out of style. That's never going to get played out. That's never going to go. Just keep on loving somebody. I want you to understand there's love for the saints. Be not careful to entertain strangers. Here's what he's saying. Be careful. You got to have brotherly love. That means love saved people. Who in the world's going to want to get saved if you don't love people that are saved? Love the saints. Love strangers. Be careful who you tell off. Who you cuss out. Who you flick off. Who you run down. You might be cussing out a stranger who's an angel. It's in the book. I didn't make it up. Be careful who you go off on. Be careful who you walk past and ignore. Some have entertained strangers or angels unaware. He said that person you walked past might have been a messenger of God sent to help you. You better be careful how you treat people. It's a shame that we say that we love God, but we can't love people. Hey, when God is my helper, I can love the saints. I can love the strangers. I can love the sufferers. Verse 3, them that are in bonds, those that are bound, them which suffer adversity, being yourselves also in the body. It's okay to love on somebody that's got lust in you, that's hurting on something you never hurt him. It's okay to see somebody that's messed up and love them through it. Why? Since the Lord is my helper, he'll help me love somebody. Amen. Compassion for souls. I'm moving quickly. Number two, since the Lord is my helper, I can have a commitment to sanctification. Since the Lord is my helper, in an unholy world, I ought to still be able to be holy. Somebody help me preach. We've used every excuse in the book for why we don't do right. Why we have turned a deaf ear to foolishness. And we have embraced immorality. Shame, shame, shame. That which is tolerated in the world has become okay in the church. And because they're doing it, we think we can do it. Because they're acting like that, we think we can act like that. I want to remind you today of the honor of marriage. Marriage is honorable. God has still ordained for one man to love one woman for one lifetime. Can I say that again? One man to love one woman for one lifetime. You know what that means? Not one man loving one man for one lifetime. Not one woman loving one woman for one lifetime. I say Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. I say Eve and Adam, not Eve and Yvette. You say that's not politically correct. That's not status quo. Fooey with that. When the Lord is your helper, we don't embrace erroneous legislation. We don't embrace the world's philosophy. We don't embrace that which is popular. So what if it's legal? So what if it's social? So what if it's logical? So what if they call it ethical? If it doesn't line up with sanctification, get rid of it. The honor of marriage and the horror of misconduct. Listen, you don't have to abide by God's covenant of marriage. But if you don't, you're going to get judged. Whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Listen, young people. Since the Lord is with you, you can keep your virginity. Come on, adults. Let them know you believe me. Since the Lord is for you, you can keep your virginity. Listen to me, young lady. You can meet the marriage altar pure. You say, what if I've lost it? You can be pure from now on. You can't go back and change it, but bless God, you can determine, I'll not be impure anymore. Why? Because I want to honor God. And if I want to honor God, I want to stick with what God honors. God's about this marriage stuff. You hear me? He's about this marriage stuff. I said he's about this marriage stuff. He's still about people that aren't married, not living together. Amen. You narrow-minded. I am. Because the Bible is. Broad is the way that leadeth to life, that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that find it. Straight is the way, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life everlasting, and few there be that find it. I'll find out that sometimes the reason why I can't sit in the narrow way is because I got too much junk in my trunk. Somebody asked me what I'm talking about, too much stuff in your spiritual vehicle that God disagrees with, in case you're wondering what I mean. A commitment to sanctification. By the way, you honor marriage not just by staying away from illicit sex, but lust, pornography, indecent exposure, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. Come on. I'm talking about dirty movies. I'm talking about flicks you shouldn't be looking at. You say, preacher, you're in my business. I hope so. I hope so. I hope so, because when God is your helper, you don't have to watch that stuff. Sir, when God is your helper, you don't have to do that stuff. When God is your helper, you don't click on that mess. When God is your helper, you keep your hands to yourself. When God is your helper, you don't have to go to that club. When God is your helper, you don't have to party that way. And some people don't go to party, they just bring the party to them. I'm learning. You don't have to have a lot of people to party. Just you and sin. Y'all can have a long party. I mean, a popping party. Just you and sin. Just having a good party over here. Just having a good time. Let me tell you something. When God is my helper, I'm not speaking by what I heard. I'm speaking by experience. God was my helper. I met the marriage altar virgin. My wife met me as a virgin. That wasn't because my daddy was a preacher or my mama was a pastor's wife. That wasn't because I was a member of Crossroads Baptist Church. That wasn't because I went to Christian school. That wasn't because I had a corner on grace. That was because I learned as a young man. Everybody made me into it. Everybody may be doing it. But I've got access to the biggest help that mankind can ever have. The Lord is my helper. A commitment to sanctification. Thirdly, contentment in our status. Let your conversation without covetousness be content. Wait a minute. Watch this now. Because the Lord is your helper. Watch this now. Look at me. You can be cool with what you got. Hey, you know what God helps you to do? Helps you to be satisfied with you. You said, Pastor, pray for me. I need this. I need that. No, you need God. I say you need God. And when you have God, you'll find out you don't need anything else because he's all you need. Amen. I'm talking about you'll be satisfied with God's provision. He said, be content with such things as ye have. You know what he's simply saying? You don't need that car if God doesn't give it to you. You don't need that man if God doesn't give him to you. You don't need that job if God doesn't give it to you. You don't need that raise if God... Why? God owns me. God doesn't owe me. And God is on my side. And if God is my boss, I get what he gives me. And if my boss is on my side, I love what he gives me. Because if he didn't give it to me, it wasn't good for me. And if he gave it to me, it's what was best for me. And if I'm trusting in him, I don't need anybody else. Because as long as I've got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. Contentment in my status. I'm satisfied with God's provision. I'm secure in God's presence, for he has said, I will never leave thee or forsake. You say, preacher, how do I learn contentment? I'll tell you how you learn contentment. You acknowledge God's presence. You begin to realize, when I don't have this, I still have him. When I lost that, I still have him. When I'm missing this, I still have him. When somebody takes that, I still have him. Wherewithal shall I sin from the presence of God? I'm glad, lo, he's with me always. I'm glad he'll never leave me or forsake me. I'm glad that Jesus is always with me every step of the way. You see, he abides with us and he doesn't abandon us. You know what he's saying? Friends will leave you, family will forsake you, but God sticks with you. Amen. Contentment in our status. Number four, courage and service. The Lord is my helper. So what does that mean? There's some things I can boldly say. I am tired of weak-kneed, amen, scaredy-cat Christians. I mean, the weakest demon says boo and we run hide. You know why? Because we're going to the wrong places for help. I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Which Lord you talking about? The Lord which made heaven and earth. He that keepeth thee shall neither slumber nor sleep. Amen. The Lord shall preserve thy going in and thy coming forth from this day and forever. You see, my friend, sometimes you got to look up and stop looking around. You got to look up and stop looking back. You got to look up and stop looking down. You got to look up and stop looking at yourself. You got to begin to realize, hey, if God be for me, who can be against me? I've got boldness to speak some things, and I've got backbone to stand on some things. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The fear of man bringeth a snare, and many believers can't live for God because they're too afraid of people. Well, if I do that, what will they do to me? Who cares? If I tell them this is where I stand as a Christian, I might lose my job. Do you believe that God can give you a better one? You see, you're going to have some backbone. I see you have to have some backbone. You have to stop running every time you get in trouble. And stop compromising every time you get under pressure. And stop quitting every time you're challenged. And stop changing your mind every time it gets hard. I don't understand how Jesus can go to the cross and suffer for us. And the moment we face difficulty, we think we ought to get out of here. I don't understand why we think we have it made in the shade, drinking pink lemonade. I don't understand why we think the Christian life is a cake. I don't understand why we think God saved us to sit on the front porch in a Cracker Barrel rocking chair and just soak up the sun. I don't understand why we think identifying with Jesus ought to make everybody our friend. They hated the Lord Jesus Christ. It wouldn't hurt you to stop a dirty joke, to shut up some gossip, to break up some mess, to cut off some foolishness. It wouldn't hurt you to sneak up in the barbershop and say, excuse me, change the subject. I'm not talking about cockiness and arrogance. I'm talking about boldness. Boldness. Courage to stand. Two more and I'm finished. See if you like this one. Since the Lord is my helper, I have compassion for souls, commitment to sanctification, contentment in my status, courage as servants. Here's one for you. Since the Lord is my helper, I give consideration to my superiors. Yeah. Hey, watch this. Since God is your helper, it's possible for you to function as a Christian and not be in charge. I will. Since God is your helper, it's possible for you to function as a Christian and not be in charge. Problem with a lot of churches is too many chiefs and not enough in. And in context, you won't put in whatever you want to put in there. Children, follow your parents. Christians, follow your bosses. Here's my favorite. Church members, follow your pastor. I was hoping you said that. Church members, follow your pastor. Let me say a couple of statements that I learned over the years from leading and from following. People seem to be the best at something they've never done. Yes. People tend to be the best at some things they've never done. I've never seen so many people in the world today that are so good at pastoring, but not even called to preach. So good at parenting, but don't have no kids. So good at discipling people, but never led anybody to the Lord. So good at straining at gnats and swallowing camels. That's in the Bible. I didn't make that. It sounds like I went to Hunan King at a fortune cookie and opened up. That's what I read. No. I read that in the Bible. This is what Jesus said about Pharisees. In other words, he was saying, you can see the smallest problem in somebody, but you can't see the huge mammoth problem in yourself. It's too late to pick new parents. Obey the ones you got. It's too bad of an economy to quit your job. So submit to your boss. And if you're going to be in this church, shazam! Don't you love it when the scripture is in your favor? By the way, I followed my pastor. I submitted to his authority. Even when I would have done it differently. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So what? Well, if I were... You're not. If I ever... You won't. When I get mine, don't plan on it. Because good leaders are never made up of bad followers. I said, good leaders are never made up of bad followers. I have two young men, sons of mine, older sons of mine, live in my house. I took as my own. They have excelled spiritually primarily because of their love for the Bible and their submission to my authority. Amen. That's right. They could have come in the house and said, I don't want, well, they could try, but they could have. But both of them have accelerated in their walk with God because at times I said, quit. I didn't even go to scripture. I said it. And I look at people sometimes and say, well, praise the Lord, brother. I would love for you to take me under your wing. And you're too stubborn. Amen. Listen, you cannot be led if you refuse to follow. Amen. I mean, if you tense up every time you're reprimanded, you roll your eyes every time you're rebuked. And you get an attitude every time you correct it, as if you read in a fortune cookie that you were perfect. Listen to me. listen to me, nobody ever made it in life without being put in line, without being checked, without being hemmed up, without being shut down, without being had their hide hand, the devil beat out of them, taken to the woodshed. I'm talking about at a foot in your seat. I'm talking about the board of education connected with the seat of understanding. I'm simply saying, if you want a God to work in your life, everybody wants to be Elisha and get a double portion of God's power, but who wants to pour water on Elijah's hands first? Elisha says, oh prophet, when you depart, could I have a double portion of your power? And Elijah said, when God takes me, be here. That was an order. Well, no, I really don't think that I should have to be there in order to get what I asked for. You know where I live. You know my mail it. Tweet it. Text it. Email it. Now just forward it to me. CC me, dog. That's all I'm saying. Here's what rebellion is. Rebellion is obstinance towards anything that doesn't agree with my way. And some people are trendy in their rebellion. They don't say no because they disagree. They say no just because you said yes. Son, this is some children like this. Go to church. Do you realize your parents are helping you? They didn't tell you to go down and die and go to hell and burn forever. They told you to go to a place where you're going to be taught the things of God. Why in the world do you want to fight that? Read your Bible. Change that outfit. What do you want? Do you want every dog to be howling at you? Change your outfit then. I lost some of you. Come on back. Come on back in. Bathroom break is over. Everybody back inside. Listen to me. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. You cannot buck authority and grow in the Lord. We're talking about living out Christianity. Can you imagine this Jew walking into a new system of Christianity, and he's been used to priests, and he's been used to ordinances, and he's been used to rituals, and all of a sudden he walks in new. He had to lean on the authority of those that taught him. Respect their position. Remember their preaching. Repeat their practices. You know, I'm simply saying, sometimes you just follow because of who the person is, not because you like them, not because you agree with them, but because God has placed them in authority. Remember the preaching. You may not like my message today, but you might need it by Thursday. You better remember it. Better remember it. I don't want to hear it. Listen to me. You better remember it, because by Friday you might be in the unemployment line. Because you got out of yourself, and your boss, first of all, I don't know who you're talking to. Pack your lock up. This world is not even conducive for your rebellion. People get locked up because they're rebellious. They get handcuffed because they're rebellious. They get fired because they're rebellious. They get kicked out because they're rebellious. Is it really worth it? Remember, respect their position. Remember their preaching and repeat their practices, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Instead of hating on somebody that's living for God, instead of being jealous on somebody that's living for God, instead of saying, I ain't going to be like that because I don't want everybody to say, I'm copying brother what's his name. The Bible said, copy brother what's the name, if brother what's the name is copying Jesus. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. So much of what I do, so much of what I do every day came from copying my dad. My son's copied me. Bless God, I want to be copyable. Live in a way that people can't see Jesus because he's invisible, can see him through you. make somebody want to be like you. They all want to be LeBron. And they all want to be, I don't even know these rappers' names, Drakes and Pops and all this stuff. I don't know none of the names of all these Eminems and Kit Kat and all this. Listen, I don't know, but I know one thing. I know one thing. When a joker come out the house, pants halfway down his leg, he ain't learned that from his daddy. He ain't learned that from the pastor. I tell you, one young lady, start halfway up, she didn't learn that from godly women in the church. She got to learn it from somebody, Beyonce or Britney Spears, somebody. They watching YouTube, looking at these videos, trying to be cute, trying to be fresh, y'all trying to be godly. Because if you look like junk, you'll attract junk. I feel a preaching storm coming on right about now. I'm trying to tell you, you have to get in line and follow somebody. You ever expect to leave. Well, I could just park on point five. Well, I'm going to close at point six. Thank you. I did say that they had to follow me. So if I want to park on... No. Lastly. Compassion for souls. Commitment to sanctification. Contentment in our status. Courage of servants. Consideration for superiors. And lastly, the consistency of our Savior. Hey, this is why I can go on, because the Lord is my helper. Because I got a Jesus who never changes. I got a Hey, some of you young preachers, you preach this right here. Watch this now. Notice the consistency of my Savior. As my Master, He's infinite. As my Messiah, He was incarnate. As a man, He was inerrant. As a martyr, He was innocent. As a mediator, He's independent. As a model, He's intimate. As a messenger, He's intercessive. And one day, as magistrate in majesty, He's imminent. Lift up your head. The trumpet's going to sound. He's coming back one day. They're going to crown Him King of Kings. And look, some of y'all didn't get that. As a Master, He's infinite. As Messiah, He's archangel. What do you mean infinite? I mean, as Jesus, He was God. When He was the Messiah on earth, He was incarnate, robed in flesh. As a man, He was inerrant, never made a mistake. As a martyr, He was innocent. He didn't deserve to die. As a mediator, He's independent. He don't need your baptism, your good works, your tongue talking, your religion, your praise and worship to get you into heaven. He can mediate you between God and Him all by Himself. As a model, He's infinite. You know what He's saying? Follow me. You ought to walk with me. You ought to be like me. But I'm glad He's not so high that He can't look low. I'm glad He's my standard. He's my role model. He's my hero. But He's not too good to walk with me and talk with me and love on me. And He doesn't just tell me to be like Him. He walks me towards Him. As a model, He's intimate. He's intimate. As a messenger, He's intercessant. You know what that means? He takes my prayers to God. He intercedes on my behalf. And as magistrate, they can clown Him now. They can clown Him now, but they're going to have to crown Him later. And here is this writer trying to salvage believers who have found something greater than they've ever experienced, but they're being pulled back to the things they left. Do you find yourself engaging in things as a Christian that you used to condemn? Covering things, excusing things and excusing people. And what used to be horrible now is not so bad. What is horrible in somebody else's home is rendered okay in yours. You're being pulled. You say, preacher, what's the answer? I'll tell you the answer. Look unto Jesus. He's never wavered. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when you begin to look at Him and you begin to live this thing called Christianity out for real, you begin to discover it ain't me.
that's keeping this thing going. I'm still in it. I'm still at it. I'm still on it. I'm still all about it. For one reason. The Lord is my helper. Our Father, I thank you for you.